Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
Well, hello, you're listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. If this is your first time to listen, welcome to the show. If you've been here before, I'm so glad you came back. On today's show, why is the book 50 Shades of Grey topping the bestsellers list? Well, today we're going to talk about the book and why it is that we, and I mean women, love 50 Shades of Grey. And it's not what you think. Believe it or not, it's not about the sex. It's the bad boy fascination, and I'm going to tell you exactly how that plays out for us. Also on the show today, a brand new study that found what makes women so attracted to bad boys. You will be shocked at the answer. It is nothing you would have ever thought of. I would have never thought of it. And so we're going to talk about that. I am also taking questions today over email and by phone from listeners, and I'll be dishing out a lot of advice. Your story may sound a lot like somebody else's, so be sure and stay tuned for that part of the show. So now, unless you have been totally out of touch, by now you have heard about the best-selling fiction trilogy. So it's a series of three books by author E.L. James called... The first one is 50 Shades of Grey. So the other day I was at the beauty salon getting my hair done, and everyone was buzzing about this book and called 50 Shades of Grey. And my stylist shared with me, you know, her eyes were kind of glowing. She was smiling a lot and telling me, you know, you've just got to read this. So it seems that some of the women in the shop were getting a little marital lift out of reading 50 Shades of Grey. One of the customers in the shop reportedly had attacked her husband twice the week that she read the book, and I don't think that means in a mean way. I think that meant sexually, I'm pretty darn sure. So anyway, I gamely downloaded the book and did my research and found out that yes, indeed, it is truly a page-turning erotic journey. But since the book seems to be such a phenomenon, I was wondering what's the impact going to be on relationships. So many women are reading this book. But more importantly, I wondered, why do we love this book so much? Well, first of all, there's the obvious reasons that we love it. So the main character, a guy named Christian Grey, terribly hot. He's hot, she's hot, and their wild sex life is so combustible it could light up a large city for at least 48 hours if we harnessed it, and I mean wild sex life. So, but that said, I don't think too many men are reading this book. When I mentioned it to my husband, he kind of gave me one of those deer in the headlights looks. And, of course, not only had he not heard of it, he had no frame of reference for it, and he couldn't even begin to understand why anyone would waste time reading a book like that. So the audience is clearly women, millions of them. But what is the draw for us besides or in addition to the wild, erotic, sexual journey in this trilogy of books? So if I... look at it a little closer. Here's what I see. Christian Grey, he's the main male character. This guy is women's top fantasies all rolled up into one. All right, so he's drop dead gorgeous. He's high testosterone, and we're talking, you know, sex 3 and 4 times a day. That's nothing to him. And on top of it, he's unbelievably wealthy. So think assets with a B. This guy drips power, and he aims all of it at the object of his lust and later his love, the secondary main character, Anastasia Steele. But that's not the real draw to this story. This book starts out with the typical romance novel formula. Handsome, sexy, powerful guy meets beautiful, vulnerable woman. At first she resists, then she succumbs. Bada bing, bada boom, they fall in love. They ride off into the sunset together. But the author, E.L. James, takes this old, tried and true romance formula a step further. And what she does is paint a compelling psychological portrait of a deeply wounded guy. So this guy is heavily into BDSM and very wounded, and he is transformed and healed by the love of a good woman. So for those of you who don't know what BDSM is, that's bondage, dominance, sadomasochism. Think whips, handcuffs, and that's just the warm-up, a lot more equipment and sexual games that involve dominance and bondage go on in this book, page after page after page after page. So, main character, Christian Grey, he's a predator, but he's one that we can imagine taming, you know, just enough so that he'll be a mate, but not so much that he becomes boring. We don't want him too tame. So this is a fantasy times 3 for women. Here's a guy who is darkly erotic, powerfully sexy, unbelievably wealthy, and ready to be cured. I mean, what a fantasy. He is the quintessential wounded guy. And that is the real draw to this story and why it is topping the bestseller list. And I'll tell you why. The wounded guy, and if you've ever listened to my podcasts or radio shows before, and if you've read any of my books, you know what I'm talking about. The wounded guy attracts the caretaking female like the moth to the flame. This is the guy whose childhood was so scarring, or whose divorce was so pulverizing, or whose life has been so difficult, or for whatever reason, he is so emotionally damaged that he cannot love in a normal way. So the wounded guy, for that guy, sex is typically both his weapon and the only way he knows how to connect. So he's driven by the need to seduce and conquer. That's how he approaches relationships. Very, very sexy, very, very tempting. Women who fall in love with the wounded guy often tell me that the sex is fabulous. The only thing is, that little word but comes after a long, long litany of all the damage that the wounded guy is doing in her life. His wounds, and I'm wondering if you recognize yourself in this story in terms of the guys you've selected in the past. So his wounds compel him to draw very close to her, often in some kind of dramatic, romantic, soul-searing, highly charged sexual way. So think those scenarios when the on-again-off-again guy, the guy who finds some way to create a problem and then he calls you up late at night, he's been out drinking with his friends, he can't, oh, I need to see you, I miss you so much, that kind of dramatic stuff. This guy bonds fiercely and suddenly at the beginning of the relationship. He is unwilling or unable to pace a relationship. He can't stand taking his time. It's a deep dive with this type of guy, or it's nothing. Then, just as she begins to think they're a couple, he acts out his pain. So then he pulls away. He may go off and indulge in his addiction of choice, whether that is drinking or drugs or gambling or other women or work or whatever it is. He may go off and distance himself, indulge in his favorite addiction, And then he either breaks up or he creates so much chaos that she breaks up. And then time goes by. She thinks this relationship is over. She's hurt. She's wounded. But then he comes back expressing remorse. She softens up, thinks that she can help him. If I just love him, I'll make this okay. And then they start all over. This becomes a vicious cycle. If you've never been in it, or if you've been in it, then you surely recognize it. But it's completely emotionally exhausting. And over time, it can turn into love addiction. You know, you just cannot bond in a healthy way. So if you're this couple, you bond in an addictive way. It's the old, I can't live with you, and I can't live without you. You make me miserable. You make me ecstatic. Come here, go away, that whole addictive cycle. So what draws women to this kind of guy is when you are trying to heal your own childhood wounds. Deep down, you want to bring him out of the darkness of his wounded soul. You want to draw him into the light and heal him. And if you could do it, if you could actually accomplish that, then you prove something to yourself, that you're special, that you're, no one else could do it. No one else could tame this wounded, animalistic guy. But you're special, you did it, and you're now worthy of the attention and the love and the desires of this very compelling man. Sounds great, huh? There's just one tiny problem, and that is that it really doesn't work. Because contrary to fantasy fiction, you cannot heal the wounded guy with love. And of course, that's what you want to give him. But you can't heal him with love. What he needs is several swift emotional kicks in the butt. He needs lots of tough love, not that sweet, I adore you kind of love that you want to give him. His healing cannot come from you being his mommy, you know, the one that he didn't have, the good mommy that he didn't have. You can't give him that and have it heal him. The wounded guy will take your soft, gentle mommy love, and he will drink it up and take the life right out of you in the process, but he won't get any better. What he needs is to really hit rock bottom. He needs to experience a dramatic loss. That's usually what makes people who have very deeply entrenched patterns change, is that they have to endure or experience a dramatic loss, and then when the pain of doing what he's always done is greater than the pain of the change, he'll begin to change. That's how change happens in human beings with these kind of long-standing patterns. So because his wounds have compelled him to do so much damage, not only does he have to experience a loss, he has to experience remorse. He has to be willing to make amends to people that he's hurt. And there are other steps, but all of those steps are best taken in a therapeutic setting, not in the course of a relationship. And guess what? Being in a relationship is not supposed to be therapy. That's not the purpose of a relationship. A relationship is supposed to be a give and take between two people who are reasonably healthy and have something to give to one another. But the wounded guy does not have much to give other than excitement and great sex. But here's a big clue. Most wounded men do not heal because they don't allow themselves to be vulnerable enough, to be hurt enough to have to change. I mean, they just don't do it. They don't put themselves in that position. So most of them never, ever get that healing. They just go from one woman to the next and leave a trail of destruction in their path. So here's the problem with trying to heal the wounded guy. You're going to wear yourself out, and your emotional needs will not be met. Over time, what this does is it erodes your self-esteem and self-worth because you don't feel like you're succeeding. You're not winning his love and commitment the way you need it. And that lack of success for you causes you to begin doubting yourself and questioning yourself. What's wrong with me? Why can't I get his love? Look at all this love I've given him. Look at all the devotion I've given him. Why won't he love me back? There must be something wrong with me. It creates a very vicious cycle in your own mind. And the problem is that you begin to crumble in that relationship. And then, as you begin to crumble, then you don't interact with him in the most empowering way, and he doesn't like that. And so at the end of the day, he will probably move on to someone else. And if he has any transformation, it's usually because he's had, again, a significant period of loss, and then he goes into some kind of recovery and actually sticks with it. But it won't be about you, and it won't be for you. It'll be the next woman who gets the benefit of that, not you. So here's the reason we love 50 Shades of Grey, because it's the story of every bad love relationship that every woman has ever had with her own version of the wounded guy. And not everyone has this in their history, but an awful lot of us do. I have my own 50 Shades relationship in my history, and so do millions of other women. And I hear stories from women all the time about theirs. But I moved on years ago. I discovered that the pain of having that kind of relationship wasn't worth any of the little crumbs of good that came out of it. So I moved on. I changed how I attract men and what I attract, and I've been very blessed to meet my very sweet, totally devoted, vanilla husband. And those of you who've read the book know what I mean about that word, vanilla. So I no longer need the roller coaster ride of a 50 Shades relationship. I'm very content and very fulfilled, and have been for well over a decade. And I would offer to you to seriously consider changing the path you are on. If you're trying to heal some kind of a 50 Shades guy, or if you don't understand that this book is fiction and you think one of these days you're going to snare a wounded, sexy billionaire and somehow transform him into a great husband, well, I would suggest that you stop and do some soul searching. Find out how you can sidestep the temptation of the wounded guy. If you haven't read it yet, do read Temptations of the Single Girl. The other thing you can do to get started is check out all the tons of free resources on singlescoach.com. You will find enlightenment there, and I believe that if you set your heart and intentions to do so, you can create the life and the love that you really do want. You know, getting healthy sometimes means giving up some things. So giving up some of these wild sexual romantic fantasies about men and adjusting your expectations to something much more stable and enduring. But I will tell you, the rewards are tremendous. It's a change in your path that is really worth taking. Now, when we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you the details of a groundbreaking new study that pinpoints exactly why we as women are so drawn to the bad boys. It's not what you think. It will be a shocker, I promise you that. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
This is Nina Atwood, and you're listening to Love Strategies. People ask me all the time, why do women fall for jerks? What is so compelling about the guy who, well, yeah, maybe he's a sexy hunk, but he's got these character issues, he's got addiction, well, you know, he's going to be a terrible mate. Why why in the world do women fall for these kind of bad guys? So, a team of researchers at the University of Texas at San Antonio may have discovered exactly why women fall for these bad boys. What they found out is that the hormones that women produce when they are near ovulation may be influencing them to pursue these kinds of relationships. So here's Christina Durante, the assistant professor of marketing. She says, previous research has shown in the week near ovulation, women become attracted to sexy, rebellious, and handsome men like George Clooney or James Bond. But until now, it was unclear why women would ever think it's wise to pursue long-term relationships with these kinds of men. So in the first of the two studies they did, they had 33 women who were near ovulation and had them view online dating profiles of two kinds of men, reliable men and sexy men. And so these women thought that the sexy men would contribute more to domestic duties, such as caring for the baby, cooking, and doing chores. Really strange, huh? Under the influence of ovulation, women delude themselves into thinking that the sexy bad boys will become devoted partners and better dads, says Durante. Well, looking at the sexy cad, when looking at the sexy cad through ovulation goggles, Mr. Wrong looked exactly like Mr. Right. Ovulation goggles. Think about that. So in the second study, they had 21 women who interacted with male actors who played out these roles. They were either the sexy cad or the reliable dad. And what they found, again, that women near ovulation thought the sexy cads would be better father figures if those men were their partner. This is really interesting to me. So the bottom line is this. If your biological clock is ticking, if you're ovulating, and your BFF wants to go out to a bar to check out the hot guys that hang out there, don't go. Do not go. Stay in the house. Avoid that scene because you will get into trouble. You're basically in a delusional frame of mind, and you should probably be under lock and key. You should not be out in the bar meeting sexy hot guys, so don't do it. But seriously, what I think this study is pointing to is often the bad boys are high testosterone. And high testosterone men are compelling, especially when they're younger and your hormones are flowing and all that. They can also be compelling when you're older and you want someone who will awaken your dormant desires. But at the end of the day, bad boys suck the life out of your life. They drain your energy and leave you heartbroken. It's not worth it. All the fantastic sex in the world doesn't cure what ails you, and that's a big case of lack of fulfillment. And I'm not saying that you can only have good sex with a bad boy. That is not true. It's just that when you meet a bad boy, it's real obvious because of the slightly dangerous energy about him that it feels really compelling in a sexy kind of way that you don't pick up right away from. Nice guys can end up being very sexy as well, but you have to find that out later. It doesn't just smack you right in the face like it does with the bad guys. So I think that's the problem. What you can do is to fill your life with uplifting and fulfilling things so that you are not just an empty bucket walking around and very vulnerable to being drawn to these guys. Now, speaking of going for the bad guy, I got a letter recently from Angela. It's not her real name, but Angela wrote me some time ago. Oh, sorry, I'm mixing up Angela with somebody else. Angela has a different letter. So Angela wrote to me not long ago and said, "Dear Nina, I have a successful career and I get so much affirmation from it that sometimes I wonder if my job has become my husband, my family, and my boyfriend. My running away in relationships comes from me shutting down and being frozen with fear when I think there's a possibility of a real relationship. I start to feel invisible. And I'm sure guys interpret this as rejection and the wheels just come off from there." So how can you give me some insight about how to get over the frozen shutdown reaction? So, Angela, what you are describing is fear. And I mean that like an acronym, FEAR, false evidence appearing real. And Fear is a mental model. That kind of fear is a mental model that can be overcome. And what happens is over time you get these irrational fears that get tangled up with real concerns, so you can no longer tell what's real and what's not. It just becomes a huge ball of tangled yarn. And if you have a few bad experiences that have played into that, then it can really contribute to your fear. So here's what I recommend. It's a two-part process to unravel this. First of all, put together your vision of the kind of relationship you want and desire, and really focus on the relationship qualities that you want, such as mutual respect, kindness, devotion, shared values, and so on. And number two, I want to see you tackle that fear of becoming invisible. And one way you can go about it is ask yourself these questions, either journal about them or talk them over with a trusted friend or a therapist. But here are some questions for you to ask yourself. So what does it mean to you to become invisible? How have you experienced that in the past? And if you were not invisible in a relationship, what would you be? What would be the opposite of that? Describe in detail what you would be if you weren't invisible. Use that description to add to your vision statement, focusing on the qualities you would bring in order to achieve it. For example, you might say, I'm a strong woman with the ability to clearly communicate my emotional boundaries and needs in a relationship with a man. I am resilient, so even if I feel let down or disappointed, I can handle it and respond appropriately. So things like that, things that reinforce that strength that you have that you take to your work. So if you can take the strength that you apply in a work setting and bring it over to the personal side, I think you're going to feel a lot more confident, a lot less fearful. When you feel strong and resilient, that's when you can take the risk to love more deeply, to stick around in a relationship and find the love. All right, so now I want to switch to Linda, who wrote to me some time ago about a relationship, and I wrote an answer back to her, and which you can find on singlescoach.com in my blog post. It's under the title Secretive and Absent. I also did a blog talk radio show on that, so you can also find a podcast. But so Linda wrote a long story about a guy that she'd been dating for years who often took off and basically went out of communication and very secretive, very absent. So here's what Linda wrote to me after I gave her some help on that issue. She says, Dear Nina, I got your response to secretive and absent, and you were absolutely right. This relationship was going nowhere. I've waited for changes year after year, and there have been a few but very small changes. He made them only to keep me hanging on until he was ready to step away again. Here's an example. About 3 weeks ago, he went out of town, didn't bother to let me know he arrived. I waited and waited for a call. Anyway, long story short, he went out of communication again, and she says, this time I really got it. It's thank you for your advice. He is a wounded guy. He has no intention of commitment, only to himself, not to me, and I will no longer be an option or convenience anymore. I love myself more than enough to stop the pain. So I'm very proud of you, Linda. You're standing up for yourself, and you're no longer willing to accept crumbs. And I wish for all of you the banquet, not the crumbs in relationships. So stay tuned to Love Strategies. Come back again and go to singlescoach.com for more resources. And thank you again for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.